Good morning and welcome to everybody to Landon Baptist Church. Let's start the meeting with a prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank and praise you for bringing us here this day. Lord, we thank you for being able to meet together in our own homes so that we can still share in worship of you. Lord, be with us this day and help us to learn more about you and help us to be able to walk in your love and know your care. And know that you are there. Just thank you, Lord. Would you like to say thank you for everybody who has come in today and pray that God will be with you all. The short Bible reading today, what I'm going to share with you, carrying on from what Helen was telling to us last week. The boy Samuel ministered before the Lord and Eli. In those days, the word of the Lord was rare. They were not many fishers. One night, Eli, whose eyes were becoming so weak that he could barely see, was laying down in his usual place. The lamp of God had not yet gone out, and Samuel was lying down in the house of the Lord, where the ark of God was. Then the Lord called Samuel, and Samuel answered, "Here I am." And he ran to Eli and said, "Here I am, you called me." But Eli said, "I did not call, go back and lie down." So he went and lay down. Again the Lord called Samuel, and Samuel got up and went to Eli and said, "Here I am, you called me." "My son," Eli said, "I did not call, go back and lie down." Now Samuel did not yet know the Lord. The word of the Lord had not yet been revealed to him. A third time the Lord called Samuel, and Samuel got up and went to Eli and said, "Here I am. You called me." Then Eli realized that the Lord was calling the boy. So Eli told Samuel, "Go and lie down, and if he calls you again, say, 'Speak, Lord, for your servant is listening.'" So Samuel went and lay down in his place. This reading is 1 Samuel 3, verses 1 to 10. Last week, Helen told us about Samuel and that he was called as a child to serve God. He was living in the temple as an apprentice to Eli. One night, as I was sleeping, Samuel heard someone calling. Three times this happened, and two times he went to Eli thinking it was him calling. And twice Eli said it wasn't him, and sent him back to sleep. The third time it happened, and Samuel went to him, and Eli realised that it was God calling, and told Samuel to go and lie down. And if God called again, Samuel was to speak, "Lord, your servant is listening." And the rest, as they say, is history. Samuel was obedient to God, and God used him in a great way. God could speak to us in many ways, not always in a voice in the night, but through Bible readings and sometimes for other people. We must learn to listen to his voice and say, "Speak, Lord, your servant is here." Our next hymn encourages us to go where God leads us in all areas of our lives. And the next hymn is, "I, the Lord of Sea and Sky."
People cry, overwhelmed in dark and sin.
Our next Bible reading is being read by Marijke.
I'm reading from 1 Samuel 17, 46 to 47. This is the day the Lord will hand you over to me, and I'll strike you down and cut off your head. Today I will give the carcasses of the Philistines' army to the birds of the air and the best beasts of the earth, and the whole world will know that there is a God in Israel. All those gathered here will know that it is not by sword or spear that the Lord saves. For the battle is the Lord's, and he will give all of you into our hands.
We're now going to sing two choruses together. First one is My Jesus, My Saviour, and the second one is God is Good, because Jesus is my Saviour and I praise him for that, and God is good because Jesus is my Saviour.
God is good. No more we doubt it.
Now Michael Kemp is going to give us our word today.
Hello. Today we're going to look a little further into 1 Samuel. We have heard from Helena Rose quite a bit about Samuel, but today we're going to look a bit more into him, Saul and David. Firstly, Samuel. I've actually called this the aspects of Samuel, and there's several different things about him that perhaps we ought to look at. Number one, his obedience on hearing God calling. He answered his call. Although still just a child, he told Eli everything. God had told him that Eli's sons would not succeed him. Although he was not happy with the people's request for a king, he was obedient to God. Two, a prophet. As he grew up, and even when he was elderly, he prophesied to the whole of Israel. Three, a judge. He followed Eli as a judge of Israel, ruling Israel for many years. Four, a soldier. He was a general and a strategist. Five, a kingmaker. Samuel had expected his sons to succeed him as a judge, but unfortunately they were corrupt, accepting bribes and perverting justice. He made it clear to the people of Israel what a burden having a king would mean to them. Samuel, through circumstances of some lost donkeys, please read 1 Samuel 9, was led to Saul, a very tall and good-looking young man, and from what I can gather, brains were not his strong point. Samuel anointed him with the oil at the Lord's command, sent him on his way to meet with several people who gave him food and drink. He was then sent to the borders of the Philistines, where he met with some prophets who were playing musical instruments and prophesying. The Spirit of God came upon him, and he was changed into a different person after making sacrifices and waiting for 7 days following Samuel's instructions. Those around Saul saw a tremendous change in him as he prophesied with the prophets. Samuel at this time was not a happy man. He summoned the people of Israel to meet him at Mizpah. This is where some confusion can happen. Did Samuel summon over 500,000 people to his presence, or just representatives and leaders of all the tribes? I believe it was the latter, as shown in 1 Samuel 10, verse 20. In no uncertain words, he reprimanded and reminded them of what God had done in leading them out of Egypt to the promised land. Through their disasters and calamities, the appointment of judges to lead them, and the bringing of peace to the land. He made it clear how they had rejected their holy God. Saul was chosen as king, and Samuel gave the people a scroll of rules and regulations of kingship and sent the people home. Saul was not fully accepted as king until he defeated the Ammonites at Jabesh after raising an army of over 300,000 men who slaughtered the Ammonites. Saul was confirmed as king in the presence of the Lord and the people at Gilgal. Samuel made an impassioned speech to all the people of their rejection of the Lord and him, and warning them of the consequences of not serving the Lord, doing evil, or both they and their king would perish. There followed a time of war with all the surrounding nations, especially the Philistines. Samuel received instructions from the Lord to meet with Saul and rebuke him and to reject him as king. It might be difficult for us to understand this, but when we read into it, Saul and his army had defeated their enemies, whom they had been told to go and completely destroyed, as they were wicked. 1 Samuel 15, verse 23, "Because you have rejected the word of the Lord, he has rejected you as king." We now come to the time of David, overlapping with Saul. Samuel was still around at this time, and following God's instructions was led to David and anointed him as king. At the same time, the Spirit of the Lord had left Saul, and he was tormented. He instructed his servants to find a good musician. David was found and served Saul as an armor bearer, and when an evil spirit came upon Saul, David would play his lyre and Saul would be comforted, and the evil spirit would leave him. War with the Philistines broke out again. I am sure that we all know the story, but what do we think of the outcome? Who actually defeated Goliath? David himself has the answer in our first reading, 1 Samuel 17, verse 46 to 47. The battle is the Lord's. God defeated the Philistines, not David. Saul grew more and more afraid and jealous of David as he became successful, with only a small army in defeating Israel's enemies. Saul became possessed with evil spirits, tried to kill David, even though he did not know that David had been anointed as king of Israel. Saul pursued David, but David always managed to elude him. David had the opportunity to kill Saul on two occasions, but didn't. Why, we don't know. It would have saved a lot of trouble in Israel as Saul became dangerously mentally unstable. Samuel died and was mourned by the people of Israel. Saul was lost without any proper counsel, and through a medium spoke to Samuel, who told him the kingship was being torn out of his hands. In his final battle with the Philistines, Saul was defeated, his sons killed, so in defeat he took his own life. David, in the meantime, fought, defeated, and destroyed the Amalekites. The story now moves forward to the time of David's kingship, related in 2 Samuel. Peter is now going to read the second Bible reading.
The reading is from Ephesians chapter 6, verses 10 to 18. Finally, be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power. Put on the full armor of God so that you can take your stand against the devil's schemes. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. Therefore, put on the full armor of God, so that when the day of evil comes, you may be able to stand your ground. And after you've done everything to stand, stand firm then, with the belt of truth buckled around your waist, with the breastplate of righteousness in place, and with your feet fitted with the readiness that comes from the gospel of peace. In addition to all this, take up the shield of faith, with which you can extinguish all the flaming arrows of the evil one. Take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. And pray in the Spirit on all occasions with all kinds of prayers and requests. With this in mind, be alert and always keep on praying for all the saints.
Our first reading shows to us that without going into battle with the Lord, we are liable to be defeated. I believe we are waging a tremendous battle now against man's failures. A virus is plaguing the earth, and life as we know it has changed drastically. As it stands at the moment, relief is a long way off. What do we do? Moan on how terrible things are? Don't accept the instructions on how to keep safe? Don't keep social distancing? Don't wear masks where we should? And expect everything to get better on its own, without us all being sensible. But God has given us the answer. As God defeated the Philistines, so we can defeat this terrible virus. It means shutting ourselves away, as instructed, is only part of the solution. Are we suffering now because of our sin? Have we turned away from God? How earnestly are we praying? Not just for an answer to our problems, but for forgiveness. Look what terrible things happened to the people of Israel due to their disobedience. We are all now people of God. The whole population of this earth are God's people, through our Saviour Jesus Christ. When the people of Israel repented, God was faithful and just, forgiving them of all their sins. in the end sending his son to die for us on the cross and opening the whole world to God's love. The Apostle Paul says, "We shall put on the whole armour of God against the power of this dark world and against the spiritual forces of evil." What armour have we today? Meeting together in prayer. We have the technology to join together, not just on a Sunday morning for a few minutes for a service, but regularly to meet together for Sunday services, to do as the apostles did, to pray, worship, partake of the Lord's Supper, to sing, to study God's word. Is it so hard to put short times regularly to meet together? Not just to listen to the services at times to suit ourselves. Jesus made the ultimate sacrifice for us. He didn't make excuses. He went forward to die a horrible death that we might be saved. Surely we can make a little sacrifices for him. Give him our time. Let our time be his time. Let us prepare to listen, to have quiet times together, and to share God's word. Prayer changes things. Obedience changes things. Witnessing changes things. Sharing God's love changes things. Let us try to make a difference in this godless world. We can make a difference. Let us pray. Firstly, let us in the time of quiet give thanks for everything God has given us. Next, let's ask for forgiveness for the sins we have committed. Next, let's ask for the cleansing of this wonderful earth that God has given us to live on, of this horrible virus. Our third hymn time today is in heavenly armour.
In heavenly armour we'll enter this land. The battle belongs to the Lord. No weapons of passion against us will stand. The battle belongs to the Lord. And we sing, Lord, honor, power and strength to the Lord. We sing glory, honor, power and strength to the Lord. When the power of darkness comes in like a flood, the battle belongs to the Lord. He raised up a standard, the power of his blood. The battle belongs to the Lord. And we sing glory, honor, power and strength to the Lord. We sing glory, honor, power and strength to the Lord. He presses in hard, do not fear. The battle belongs to the Lord. Take courage, my friend, your redemption is near. The battle belongs to the Lord. And we sing glory, honor, power and strength to the Lord. We sing glory, honor, power and strength to the Lord.
Now we say our prayers. Heavenly Father, we just bring before you now so many people that we know of who are unwell, for those who are suffering from cancer. Lord, may your Holy Spirit be upon them, particularly at this time where it's so difficult for some of them to receive treatment, Lord. Pray you bring peace into the hearts of all the people that we know. And Lord, I pray for those who are sick in any other way, Lord, that you will bless and keep them safe. Lord, your healing hands will be upon them. And we'll have a quiet time now. It's for people we can think of in our heart who are unwell, in physically, mentally, or spiritually. Heavenly Father, we pray for those who have been bereaved recently. Lord, it's such a devastating time to lose someone. And it's so difficult for the people involved, for the families. So Lord, just pray for the families. Pray for your peace to be in their hearts. Pray for them to know you. And pray for your Holy Spirit to surround each and every one of them. And again, a short time. Lord, we pray for our government that they will know what to do with this virus and for any other decisions that have to be made, Lord. May your government be given wisdom by you so that they will follow your guidance and follow your will. Lead them, Lord, in your way so that this country will become like a Christian country again, Lord. Being led by you. We pray for other countries in the world that are torn apart by war and conflict. Lord, bring peace to your world. Please settle it. And also for those in parts of the world that are really suffering from the COVID-19 virus, Lord, just really, again, bring your healing hands upon them, Lord. Help them to have the resources to deal with it. To have the people to deal with it. Lord, we praise you that you are here with us, that you are in control of all these things, although at times we can't see it. So we just praise you for that, Lord. And pray for your Holy Spirit again to descend upon this country and upon this world, so that you will be, I am the one God again. I know you always are, Lord, but I mean to us, to the people. And our final hymn, I want you to sort of think of it as a prayer as much as a hymn, because the words of it are, Father, I place into your hands my friends and family and various other things it says in the hymn. Lord, we want to place these into his hands. So just think about this as you're singing the hymn.
Into your hands the things I cannot do. Father, I place into your hands the things that I be through. Father, I place into your hands the way that I should go. For I always can trust you. Father, I place into your hand my friends and family. Father, I place into your hand the things that trouble me. Father, I place into your hand the person I would be. For I know I always can trust you. Father, we love to see your face, we love to hear your voice. Father, we love to see. walk with you and in your presence rest. For we know we always can trust you. Father, I want to be with you and do the things you do. Father, I want to speak the words that you are speaking to. Father, I want to love the ones that you will draw to you. For I know that I am one with you. For I know that I am one with you.
And we'll end our service with the Lord's Prayer. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be your name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power and the glory, for ever and ever. Amen. And we can share the grace together. May the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, and the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with us all, now and for evermore. Amen. Thank you so much for coming onto the line today to listen to us, and we look forward to meeting you again at 11:15 this morning. Thank you. Bye-bye.